Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, you will discuss issues, relevant questions, and other fields regarding the Islamic upbringing of children. And we would like to stress that the answers that we provide in this program are all based upon the narrations of the household of the Prophet and, of course, of the Prophet himself, and upon the Holy Quran, supplemented with scientific research. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend, Sheikh Ali Himani, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for joining us.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's my pleasure to be here in your studio.
Sometimes, dear Sheikh, our children, they do not listen to what we tell them to do. Now, last time you spoke about the fashion and the appearance and how much they are taking by their appearance, our teenagers. And a parent, he might try to involve himself and try to control the situation by telling his children do not overspend or do not underspend, and try to provide some general guidelines. And often we notice, we see that the teenagers, they lash out. They do, or either they sit and listen, and then they do not listen to what we tell them to do. They do not implement what we ask them to do. And then we try to instruct them, and then it continues on and so forth. So should we be strict towards them? Should we be more strict? Or like, what is the right way to approach this disobedience of the teenagers?
All right. Al-amru bayna al-amrayn. Don't be too strict and don't be too lenient. You know, somewhere in between, you need to balance it out. And when I say balance it out, we need to understand. Imagine, you know, you have a spring in your hand and you build pressure upon it. You know, you press the spring down, and when you release it, it's going to bounce back. And the more you press it down, the higher it bounces back.
It's going to hit you in the face.
Exactly. And this is what is going to happen with our kids. If we're too strict and we stop them from doing absolutely nothing, which the whole world is doing, then tomorrow it's going to backfire. They're going to jump back. They're going to bounce back when they are at that age of 17, 18, 19, 20, and they have that freedom.
As soon as they get some sort of freedom.
Freedom, they will be ready to move. They immediately move out. And the moment they move out, they do everything that we've stopped them from doing.
And they cut all contact.
And not just cutting the contacts. The thing that worries me more here is that they indulge into all those things that the parents have stopped them from doing since they were teens.
So including the forbidden sins.
Including the forbidden sins. Right. Because you've been stopping them too much. You've been building too much pressure, too much restriction.
Or at least you do not tell them why. You just impose all of these restrictions.
Rather, I would say that the parents should know the scope. They should know the perimeter that, look, till here, it's okay. So for example, absolutely no jeans. No jeans at all. Don't do that. If you do that, the child is going to bounce back after some time. For example, makeup. Let me give an example of makeup. Or rather, first, let me give you the overall universal rule. Don't be too strict. Give them the freedom as long as they're not crossing the line of Islam. That is, they're not getting involved into haram. As long as it's not haram, it's okay. For example, makeup. Or let me just...
Let's take this example after a quick
after
break.
The break, yeah. Yes, I think that's good.
Yes.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Now, we said that we shouldn't be too strict as long as what they're doing does not violate the holy sharia, holy laws of Islam. And you were talking about makeup as an example.
Correct.
Please expand upon
correct.
That.
So the fundamental idea is, as long as the fashion is not violating the sharia, it's not leading them towards haram, it's okay. So let's take example of makeup. What does Islam say about makeup? Does it say makeup by itself is haram? You can't wear any makeup at all.
Of course not. It's adornment for
exactly.
the husband.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for your husband, or leave the wife. I mean, let's talk about the children. I have a girl at home. She's 13 years old. And she looks at everyone else who's doing makeup outside. I don't allow her to do makeup outside because it's haram to do makeup
right.
in front of non-mahram. But what about at home?
Do it at home for yourself, for your
exactly.
family.
Exactly. Let her do it at home.
Yeah.
Don't be so strict that no makeup stuff at home.
Oh, even at home, some people are restricting
extremely it. Strict. And they're like, you know, if they do at home, they look at themselves in the mirror. They tend to like themselves.
Horrible consequences.
See, they have a philosophy behind it. The philosophy
right.
is that when she does makeup, she looks at herself in the mirror. She finds herself beautiful. And then when she goes out without the makeup, she compares herself and she's like, with makeup, X level of beauty, without makeup, X minus
so
level of beauty.
Thinking.
Why not I
right.
show my real beauty to the people by wearing the makeup? So somewhere deep down inside, she feels the necessity to wear makeup in front of others, right?
Of
so,
course.
So some parents feel that let's not create the opportunity at all, right? Let's not introduce makeup. And that's okay. As long as your child is not inclined towards it, they're not interested in it, don't introduce yourself. You know, bring
right.
home some makeup and say, why don't you do makeup? She's not interested.
Do not
She's
open
not inclined.
Such a subject yourself.
Exactly. Don't
right.
induce it yourself.
Rather let it be a reaction to what she says,
exactly.
what she does.
So, unless she's like, you know, she's looking all her friends and she's noticing them wearing eyelashes, eyeliners, makeup and foundations and blah, blah, blah. And she comes home and says, Mom, I want to do makeup. And then she's like, okay, great. I'll get you stuff, but at home. So you give her the freedom in the evening to do makeup, come for the dinner table with makeup
right.
in front of dad, in front of brothers, in front of
mother
family. Or family, all the
right.
maharim, you know, your uncles who are mahram to you.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's absolutely fine. Don't put a block here. Don't put a halt and a restriction so much so that she feels deprived
right.
of her natural need.
Because some people, they don't listen to the Islamic Sharia and they go above and beyond, and that's not Islam.
Yeah, they think that they have a better understanding of Islam and they
right.
think that, you know, I understand better and my point of view is better than the fatwa that the Maharaja
yeah,
Taqlid has
again,
given.
Again, we need to mention that these, it depends on the case, because you can then go to a family of very religious people and that they do not have makeup at all. Yeah, that is their circumstances. That
absolutely.
Their familiar situation.
Every family has their
yeah.
own circumstances, a
right.
background, a upbringing, a psychology, a understanding and approach. Maybe their child does not feel the need for makeup, so
right.
that's okay.
Maybe the child already has this conviction inside, because some people,
they,
mashallah, their religious convictions are something else.
Or maybe even better, the child has grown out of makeup. She's
right.
done that when she was 10, 11, 12, and now she's like, that's fake. I don't want to carry myself fake.
A counterpoint there, Sheikh, because we do want them to use makeup for their husbands and families in the future.
Fair enough. That is if the husband requires. We can't
right.
force them to, you know, again,
yeah.
some parents are like, you know, eventually when you get married, you'll have to be wearing makeup. So do it
now. No, that's not the approach I'm talking about. That's wrong.
Exactly.
But if we instill in these children that do not wear makeup at all,
exactly.
that is going to affect their marriage in a negative way in the future.
In a way, yeah. So we train them. We teach them. We let them know that this exists. If you want, you can use them. If the child is not inclined, you say that's
right.
okay. But then if there is a need, we also teach them and let them. So the fundamental point here is don't be too strict towards
right.
your children because it's going to backfire.
Right. Provide the playground that is Islamic.
Islamic. Without crossing the red lines and violating the Sharia
right.
and leading them into
right.
any haram activity.
And on that note, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Now, Sheikh, just before we went on a break, we said that we should not be too strict with our children regarding these things such as makeup and dress and whatever they are interested in, but that we should provide a safe Islamic, that's the first thing and last thing, Islamic environment where they can try these things out for themselves in a controlled Correct. Environment. Okay. Now, are there other methods that we can try to curb this inherent need for trying to perhaps show their opinions off to others?
Yes, there are other methods, but I have faced this question many times, so I would want to elaborate this question here, that some parents come back and ask that, what is that red line? What do you mean by not allowing them to indulge into haram? Well, how do I know what part of it is permissible and what part of it is not permissible? So Islam has very clearly mentioned here that, you know, certain things are necessary, like your hijab. You can't compromise on that. Not wearing makeup. You can't compromise on that. Tashabo, looking like the others, meaning that looking like the opposite sex. So the boy grows his hair so long and, you know, ties
earrings.
Exactly. Right. Piercings. Someone might come back and say, where does it say piercing is haram? Piercing is not haram by itself, but if it is tashabo, making you look like a girl, then it is haram, because Islam right. says tashabo is not permissible. So boys should not look like girls, and girls should not look like
male clothing.
Exactly. So the red line is here. When we say haram, it's not just about hijab, wearing right. makeup, but also this line that the girls should not look like boys and the boys should not look like...
So in essence, sorry for interrupting, listen to what your maraja, your scholars tell you, like Ayatollah Sayyid Sistani, he says that wearing jeans for women is actually haram. Straight out says it.
If the fatwa is there...
Right.
Then the followers of Ayatollah Sistani,
you know
what, will
Sheikh,
have to follow
because
it.
People, they try to find some way to loopholes. Not... To yeah. not listen to this. They say he didn't mention this specific type of jean that is not made out of this fabric.
That's tashkiz and mawzu. Right. So it is for them to, for example, on the same lines, you know, marja taqleed can tell you that you can eat fish with scales. Any fish without scales is haram.
Right.
Now it's for the person to look at the fish and understand
Research,
and realize that.
Find out.
Research and yeah. find out and arrive at a conclusion. Does this fish have scales or not?
Right.
Similarly, if there's a fatwa which says tashabo is haram, right. looking like the opposite sex is haram, then it is for them to realize that certain dress code is not permissible.
Not only that, Sheikh, we do not have to go that far. In our Islamic Sharia, it is known, it is a fact, everybody agrees upon this, clothing that reveal the shape of a woman
Woman's
is impermissible.
Body, yeah. Yeah.
So it does not matter if it's jeans or a shirt or
a tight
dress.
Jeans or a tight top.
It does not matter.
Exactly.
Because in the future, they can have new clothes. Maybe they're going to ask for a new fatwa.
Correct.
For
so
a new
this is
rule.
The red line that I was talking about.
Yeah.
This is the area that we were talking about, that this is haram. Why is it haram? Because it is not abiding the laws of Islam. It is not according to the fatwa
right.
and the rulings of
Educate yourself on these rulings. Those are the red lines.
You need to have the rulings, the Tawziul Masail at home, to constantly look at that and solve these problems, you know, instead of allowing them to indulge into something impermissible.
Right. So I would say that this stage, this is actually a... I would call it a pre-introduction stage to even thinking about having children, if you ask me. Familiarize yourself with these Islamic rulings.
Correct.
Especially in a society that's not Islamic.
Correct.
That you would not have the support or the knowledge that is present in the society.
Extremely important. Particularly in societies where the culture and the environment is not Islamic.
Anti-Islamic in some cases.
Correct. So this is where you need to acquaint yourself with the Islamic rulings.
Right. And with that, and keeping that in mind, and we ask Allah to guide us to the right path, we have to end today's program. I thank you for contributing to this discussion, and also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any suggestions, feedback, or some comments, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. You can also find us on various social media websites, such as on Twitter and Instagram, under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space. upon rest.